Good morning again, church. Whether you call Fairview your home church, and whether or not your church is having a service and you've just kind of happened upon us, or maybe the service finds you searching for answers, in need of a God, because COVID-19 has maybe brought you to your knees and you're searching for a God to help you in the midst of that, we're just glad you're here. And so we are, as that video just alluded to, celebrating Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of our Holy Week, and we'll end next week with Easter. And I'm not going to go into Palm Sunday so much, but this is kind of the hope of that is Jesus is coming, and he has the palms, and he's riding in on the donkey, that there is a great expectation. But what I would say is that with that expectation, those things happen as we know that the tide turns, that the people that are calling for him now in just a few short days will start saying, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. But through that, and what their expectation was of what Jesus was there to do to overthrow things, that God had a better plan. And that was that death had lost its sting, and it had an eternal plan, which is Easter, and that the resurrection that we're about to celebrate next Sunday. And so I'm excited about that. Well, let's pray and let's get started. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would be with us. God, those of us that are hearing my voice, God, I pray that it would be your words. God, that it would be encouragement, that it would be hope. I thank you for the time of worship that we were able to just have to lift up our voice to you. But God, I also pray that you would just continue to work through us, encourage us, empower us, unite us, bond us closer to not only you, but to our community. We thank you, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is great to see so many of you, all the different faces. As behind the scenes, I'm looking at the chat. Many of you are joining us live on YouTube and get to see your texts and stuff. And so anywhere, I was glad to see Jamie Noctegal. For those of you who don't know, they are the regional coordinators for Europe in the Middle East, and so she's in Germany, and it looked like she was on to anywhere in between. Gary Moore out in Boise, who was on staff with us, and so everywhere that people are right now, we're glad that you've joined us. We're glad that in this unique time, it creates maybe a community that we normally wouldn't have, and so continue to, this is the one time where I'd say talking during church is acceptable, because you guys are fellowshipping, and so I'm so grateful that you're able to do that. But today, we're going to talk about bold faith. Last week we talked about faith over fear, but we're going to be talking about bold faith. And sometimes in our society, bold faith can be a couple different things, or in our culture, it could be defined as someone who wears bright colors or wild clothes. It could be that loud person that, as they talk, they may have to, you know, get your attention. I don't know. But it could be just this guy that's on with a ponytail that's new to Seattle. I'm not quite sure. But I think bold in our culture right now, a new one to that, would be those people that are working in essential jobs in the midst of a pandemic. That has become a definition for bold. And I know that I saw another one of those, Gary Madsen, that was on the chat. And he's been going through that. And so daily he is on the front lines at the hospital and comes in contact with those that are afflicted by this and confirmed. But I know that he has kept the faith, and I'm so grateful for those people that are bold, that are being heroes during this time. And so thank you for that, and thank you for your service. So that's somewhat how culture defines it, but what does Webster, what does the good old dictionary say about bold by definition? It says this, showing an ability to take risks, confident, and courageous. Synonyms include daring, brave, courageous, fearless, audacious, or even daredevil. It could also be, bold could be in a font, to make emphasis. It could highlight a certain thing. And so those are some of the definitions through Webster that they have. One of them today is, what does the Bible say? We see many stories of bold faith, but I won't be able to share all of them. I'm just going to share a few, obviously. One that we are going to talk about is, briefly, is David and Goliath. And so I saw this kind of picture or quote about David and Goliath, and I'm going to throw that up on the screen for you to see something here. And it read this way. It said, David did not defeat Goliath because he fought well. David defeated Goliath because he believed well. I really like that, because it's not about just fighting that part. And the ultimate story of David and Goliath, of being the underdog, and maybe some of us feel this way because of the current situation, but it's not because he fought well, because here is this guy that is coming, that's not trained in hand-to-hand combat. He is the ultimate underdog, and Goliath is this huge monumental thing that no one is able to touch or to break or to fear. But see, David doesn't let his circumstances around him define him. And he comes in with this mentality, is greater is he who is in me. And I just love that part about David, that he just comes in and takes that on and knows that it is in him, that is Christ, that he can continue. So another story that we're going to talk about today is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that is found in Daniel 3, 19 through 28. So let's go ahead and jump in there. And for right before this setting, you see that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, is furious with them because they haven't done what he has asked them to do. But picking up in verse 19 says this, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace." Verse 24, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own.'" That's a pretty bold and difficult faith. I mean, literally walking into the fire and to not buckle under that pressure. Breaking down that passage, I want to look at a few things and take note of them. First being that the king, he has this huge fury, and he is so mad. When told no, or his commands were not followed, he orders the furnace 7 times hotter than usual. I don't know if that's just because how angry he was or maybe how hot he was, but that's what he asked. And he has all 3 men tied by some of his strongest soldiers. But there is collateral damage due to the fire being so hot. and those men that took them up to the furnace are killed. Number two, work of an all-powerful God. First, there's a different attitude. Picking up in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And we see that happen. There's another thorough inspection that takes place. And the satraps, prefects, governors, royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I don't know how that happens, that you can walk through fire. If you've ever been around even a campfire, you smell that. Even if you're just roasting s'mores for a small time period, you can smell that smoke. In fact, since we've moved here, one of the things maybe in transit that hasn't quite come out on the right side of it is our barbecue grill. And so since we've been here, I was trying to get my barbecue grill going, and I'm so grateful for good neighbors. In this instance, it was Daniel Worthen, who had another barbecue that was able to be walking by at the time and lent his so that I could continue grilling up some burgers. But I've done some things with my propane grill that I've singed some stuff, if you know what I mean. If you've had one of those unfortunate propane incidents, then to not be singed or to not, I just don't understand. But I know that God does, and he has that plan. Then there's proper credit given by Nebuchadnezzar. 28 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own.'" See, bold faith may lead to potential death, like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it reminded me of this story that I had, and I want to show you a couple pictures. And the first one here that is going to go up is of a fire. And you can see the devastation that has taken place in that fire. You can see how the ceiling is scorched, that the drywall is gone. You can see all those things that have taken place. But in the next slide, you can see something that did go through the fire. And if you look closely, that is God's word. Like, everything around it is almost unrecognizable. But just like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this Bible that went into the fire was there. And there's even a closer one that you can see in the last picture of that it did kind of rise up the smoke around it. But God's word stood the test of time. And I thought that that was so fitting for that, to be able to remind us of that, because what we're walking through right now, that even in the midst of that, that doesn't make sense, that everything else is burnt, that God's word can stand. So I wanted to remind you of that. The second example from Scripture is that I would like to share with you is today is found in Matthew. But there's a phrase I want you to learn before that. And you can be in the atmosphere of something great and miss the experience. You can be in the atmosphere of something great and miss the experience. I want us to take a look at a story of Jesus doing something that no man can do on his own, of Jesus calling one of his servants to do what only God could enable him to do. How many of us today would like to do something that only God can do in us and through us? Picking up in that same text that we went over a little bit last week, the text is Matthew 14, 22 through 33. And it's, remember, it's Jesus walking on the water. Predating this going into the Bible was the feeding of the 5,000. I talked about the Hebrew happy meal that took place. But in verse 22, it says this: "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. by the waves because of the wind was against it. How many of you started out on something for God because he instructed you, but then you face resistance? If I'm being honest, church, I'm probably currently right there. I mean, God has called us to Seattle to be a part of Fairview and to do these things, and that's not questioned at all. But I think right now we have some resistance. I've now probably done as many services in this format without people around than we had before that happened. And so the new reality that as I stepped out with God, that I faced resistance. I think that the current times are fitting for that statement. We need God more than our own ability in any circumstance, but definitely right now. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I." Going back to Old Testament, God referred to himself as the I am, the I am. And so we see the nature and we have this identifiable marker that it is him, and then says, "Don't be afraid." Now, I remember last week when we were talking about even the structure of those words, Jesus is in the middle when it says, "It is I," but it says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And so when you have those things, that Jesus is so powerful in that to have courage and comfort, Jesus has to be in the middle. Then Peter, on the other side of this, just as a side note, he might be one of my favorite, he probably is my favorite disciple, because not just because he's the rock, but because how much passion and zeal. I mean, this guy is like, they're coming to take Jesus in the garden and he's lopping off ears, and I don't think that's like the biggest thing for Jesus, so Jesus like has to heal it and put it back on. But I love Peter, and Peter does something crazy, bold, and audacious, and he says this in 28. "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And what he's really saying there is maybe a statement that looks a little something more like this. "Lord, if it is so, ask me to do something that is impossible on my own." I think that that's exactly what Peter is asking there. He's asking to come out, that he knows that he can't walk on water, but he is asking to do something impossible on his own. A couple points I want to have here. Bold faith calls us, and it calls on God for the impossible. Sometimes we think that faith is putting on God what we want. It is not. But notice, Peter says, "God, if it is you, tell me to come to you." So I must step out in obedience. Faith is a response to what God commanded. Number two, bold faith is built in faith, by faith, and through faith. Verse 29 says, "Come," he said. That's Jesus speaking. Many of us at this point would be waiting for something supernatural maybe to happen, because nowadays we have Hollywood and everybody's on this screen and they do things. I don't know all the magicians and things that take place, whether that's David Copperfield or a David Blaine, or I don't even know all those guys, but they have shows, I'm sure. But, you know, does he just levitate over to them? I don't think that that's what happens. Jesus just responds and says, "Come," because bold faith is built in faith, by faith, and through faith. So we must respond to that command. The disciples are panicking, and they're being tossed around in the boat by the wind and the waves, and I can see them holding on. So Peter now has to let go of what he was holding on to in his life with and start walking and climbing out of the boat. Maybe that is real for some of us right now today. The norm, or the things that we had for security that we thought, structures, we're holding on to them instead of just letting go and letting God. We have to do that, to let go and let God of what is comfortable and start walking towards him. Do you want to know if God is real? He's going to say, "Come and see." Are you willing to do as Peter did, step into that? See, Jesus called you to come like Peter. But we are stuck on the how and not who that has called us. Let me say that again. We're stuck on the how and not the who has called us. Don't get stuck on the how. Focus on who, and you'll experience a wow moment. Because as soon as we take that off and we start to look at our circumstances, we start looking at the how. You can't experience wow if you are constantly stuck on that how. Don't measure things on your own ability. If Peter would have done this, he should have never gotten out of the boat. He never would have stepped out if he would have looked at his own ability, but he is asking for boundaries outside of himself, supernatural things that only God can do. Number 3, bold faith is believing God will enable his servant. It's not going to be my ability. It's going to be God's ability. I just have to have availability for him to work through me. Many of you have probably heard the saying, God doesn't always call the called. He equips those that he calls. And for Peter, this is in this moment. Then he says, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was having this wow moment on his way to Jesus, and he has this moment of clarity, like maybe something like, I'm a man, I shouldn't be walking on this water. And he starts to probably panic a little bit, and I should start sinking, and he starts to go. See, he allows his circumstances around him, the wind in this instance, to inform him of his outcome in God. Reality is reality, but let me say this, I won't dispute that. But Jesus is truth. And that is something that we need to keep in fact. See, the facts are man can't walk on water. That is only something God can do. It is okay to be aware of what is going on around you, just like today. But if Jesus is in you, you should be focused on the who that has called you. The circumstances shouldn't matter. But it says Peter was afraid. He begins to fear. And in that fear, that trumps the faith that got him out of the boat to begin with. Don't focus on the how or your circumstances. Focus on Jesus. Like we said last week, that very word of come, standing on God's word, picking up in the verse, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Many of us are probably there in our own personal lives right now. It says, his hand will lift you out of your fear and back into a place of faith. Maybe that's what some of us are asking for today, that we can get that hand from God out of our fear and back into our faith. See, bold faith isn't just about you, but it's all about him. He saw the wind and he was afraid. The reason he was afraid is because he thought the structures that he was holding on to and clinging to were more trustworthy than the one who called him. I think a lot of people are going through this right now and letting go and letting God and not holding on to those structures or what we thought was our sense of security. Bold faith is not grounded on what's beneath you, but who holds and called you from above. Reminds me of a story when my oldest son, Trey, was about 1 year old. He started to get to that point where he thought he could walk. And I knew he could walk before he knew he could walk. And if you've ever been around that part, babies do this cruising thing where they kind of shift themselves around a couch and then they kind of get a little bit more brave and they go from the couch and dive over to the coffee table and then keep going. And maybe as a first-time parent, I was freaking out a little bit and thought maybe I need to put some of those pool noodles around the coffee table to protect him. But I knew that he could walk. And what I wanted him to do was to walk to me. And Trey kind of had those moments where when he could let go, you could see him there'd be this balancing, and when he was focused right on me, he could start to do this, and he could take like 4 or 5 steps right towards me. And as long as he was focused on me, he was fine. But then there was this moment where maybe he, I don't think that he was thinking like Peter, I don't think that the one-year-old in him was thinking, hey, I'm not even a toddler yet, I probably shouldn't be walking, I haven't got this whole balance thing figured out. But he has this moment, and he loses concentration on me, and he loses focus, and he falls down. See, bold faith is not grounded on what is beneath you, or what structure you think you're holding on to. Coronavirus has taken a lot of these structures away from us right now, including our ability to greet and meet one another and assemble as a church. It is completely based on the one that has called you. Verse 31 says this, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I don't think Jesus here is putting down Peter about little faith, but I believe pointing out more so his doubt. See, the Bible tells us the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. And it was that little faith that got Peter out of the boat. It got him moving towards Jesus, but it was his doubt. See, Peter's faith allowed Jesus to do things in him and through him that no other disciple could ever boast about, walking on water. Again, on the back end of that, Peter being who he is, I don't know, you know, a bunch of guys, if he was, hey, I got to walk on the water with Jesus. But maybe some of us are needing that right now, that connection with him to where we can ask him for his guidance and to walk with us. Bold faith in any measurement can be canceled out by any unit of doubt. And that's what happens to Peter in that moment. His faith got him out of the boat, but his doubt is what started to do. Don't let doubt creep into your life. You know the who, in this instance of the story, it's Jesus. You don't need to know the how. Because as soon as he started looking at the how, he looked at the when, he started to lose focus. You have to continue to focus on the who to experience that wow. Because if you start looking at the how, you'll never get to God's wow. And many of us are in a desperate need of God's wow, seeing him show up in our personal faith walk. Verse 32 says it this way, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus sends them on this journey, probably knowing that the winds and the storms are coming and that they will face resistance. But his purpose is to build faith, build their faith. He is the Son of God. I believe that God has placed a special blessing on our church here. I don't believe that he created us to just be in this atmosphere, but to be a part of the experience. The church is happening because outside of these walls, like we've been talking about, we are the church. And once we get the opportunity to connect again, I know that we will be able to make a bigger impact, that we will be able to have these things where I think God has strategically placed us on the hill so that we can be a light for those in our community. And so I think that those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to. We're excited to be here, like I said, in our midweek video. We know that God has great things in store for Fairview as a church. And I would implore you, again, to not just be a part of the atmosphere. Don't just be a bystander or just in the building, because that's not where it's found. But to be a part of the experience. Make bold steps in your faith. I know that that is different with the day that we have. But know this, God is not held by our understanding and boundaries. So keep the faith and put it where it belongs, in him. I think that that's so important. I'll say that again. God is not held by our understanding and boundaries. So keep the faith and put it where it belongs, and that is in him. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this opportunity to unite as a body, to know that you are with us, God, that you hear our prayers. I pray that we would know your voice. Father, as we are reminded of a bold faith, that we would be able to stand on your truth. God, whether that is walking through a fire, which many would describe this current time feeling like, or maybe that's walking on water. God, I pray that you would be with your people, that we wouldn't be held captive by our own understanding, but that we would submit to you and ask for your guidance in our life. God, continue to be with us and guide us and provide for us. God, I thank you for this time that we had together to just plug in. Thank you for those that have joined us online, that are having a conversation, that are building fellowship. God, continue to unite us. Help us to know that you are with us every step of the way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do have a couple of announcements before we finish up today. Some of those announcements include the Women's Bible Study will meet Wednesday at 3 to 4:15 p.m. through a Zoom meeting link, and that starts this week. And they're going to be studying Life Lessons from Philippians by Max Lucado. If you have any questions, contact Sandy Tracy for details, and that email is their Women's Bible Study at thefairviewchurch.org. We also have a Good Friday service coming up. That will be Friday evening. It will be online, so make sure that you tune in for that. I'm so excited that we have Debbie and Carl Christensen have helped put that together. And then lastly, you saw on that same slide, Easter service online next Sunday, so make sure that you tune in, that you have that. And then stay tuned for our midweek post. And I appreciate all of you guys and gals that are part of the game of where is TJ? I apparently need to find more remote areas. You guys know your city really well. It's been really cool. We've been trying to go out and find a safe place where we can record videos to just encourage you. Know that we're praying for you in this past week. Like I said, many of you got a phone call from me, at least one of your family members, and it just warmed my heart. It was twofold. A, to check in on you, but B, for me to know and to hear your voice, and that was super impactful for me as a pastor. And then we also have communion coming up. So if you join us for a Good Friday, we will take it then. We will also make that an element of next Sunday for Easter, that you'll be able to take communion. I've heard a lot of different things. This is your opportunity to find what you have next to you. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store to find grape juice and in a really small cup. Make it a, maybe some of you have been like myself, like I'd really like a cup of grape juice, and you have that. I've seen little people have a little goldfish for their communion cracker. It could be a tortilla. It could be anything. But to remember that it was Christ's body that was broken, and we do this in remembrance of him. So you have a little action item there to go and find some communion so that when we partake of those in those men. And then last but not least, thank you for those of you that were able to send in your offering. Thank you for being faithful. I know that we don't have that as a part of our normal service right now, but thank you, and if you need more of the envelopes or anything like that, just please let us know. But we are so glad that you were able to join us this morning. I'm so grateful that God is alive, he is well, and I want this to be an encouragement to you. I want you to know that as a staff and as your pastor, I'm excited to push forward. I know that God has great things in store for us on the other side of this, and I know that he's working in many of us even right now. So until we get a chance to meet again, and I pray that you are doing well, I pray that you're encouraged, I pray that this week maybe you'll find a way to reach out for those during Easter. Maybe that's a phone call to a family member. Maybe that's an opportunity to write a letter and send it to someone. But be encouraged. Know that it is Easter coming up, and you are loved, you're appreciated. On that note, have a great Sunday. We love you, and God bless you all.